Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, good afternoon. This is not Bill Buckmaster. This is Shelley Fishman. As you just heard from that introduction and disclaimer, on a day when our thoughts and prayers go out to the folks in Moore, Oklahoma, and the surrounding cities and communities for their loss and this tremendous devastation yesterday, we just must keep them in our thoughts and our prayers. But when we take a look at what's going on in the financial community, what's going on in the markets, it's just remarkable. We have another up day. We're 16, 17, and 18% for the year. 16 up on the NASDAQ, 17 on the S&P, and 18 on the Dow. So we have now exceeded my predictions for the year by, 4 points on the Dow. So that says caution is probably a good thing to have, but the markets are voting with their dollars and voting for things to get better. A couple of things about finance before we get to our main part of our show today, which is going to be focused on downtown, on development, on what's going on. There's a steamroller rolling through town, and that steamroller is the town. It's just growing. It's doing the things it needs to do, and we have with us two experts. We've got Michael Keith, who is the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Craig Sumberg, who is the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater Foundation. And they're here in studio with us. And then at around half past the hour, Paul Cunningham, city councilman, is going to call in and add his voice and tell us a little bit about what's going on in the city council as it pertains to downtown development. Last week, when I was here on Tuesday with Bill in the regular segment, we talked a little bit about guarantees. And when the market's up and you're afraid to get back in, what do you do? How do you cautiously invest in such a way that you can sleep at night? And I was kind of, surfing through things this morning, and there's a Market Watch article by Stan Heathcock, who calls himself Stan the Annuity Man. And he talks a lot about something that he calls PIL. When do you choose the right annuity for you? When do you choose something that's guaranteed? What are the criteria you should use to make those decisions? And he says there are four major criteria to use. And he came up with the acronym PILL, P-I-L-L. When you need principal protection, when you need income for life, when you want to leave a legacy, and when you need some way of providing long-term care assurance for yourself or your family during and after your retirement. So that he talks very reasonably about when annuities as one type of guaranteed investment are appropriate, when they're not. Anybody who heard us last week and is interested, I suggest you go to Market Watch today, pick up that article, take a look at it. It's got a lot of really good stuff in it. Now let's get to the other good stuff. Let's get to downtown Tucson and what's going on. So what we know is you can't drive through it right now. We know that that the streets are a bit torn up, and we know that for years and years we've had a promise of development and growth in downtown, and then now it seems to be happening. So my first question, and I'm going to kind of address it to both Michael Keith and to Craig Sumberg, why should we care? What's important about downtown that makes, you know, makes the average citizen here in Tucson want to kind of, you know, perk up his ears and say, this is something I want to be a part of?
Well, in general, downtowns are the heart of a community. Wherever you go, you usually go to a downtown. In any city you go to, it reflects the culture and the history and the community values. Ours has languished, as you mentioned, through the 60s and 70s and 80s and into the 90s. We're kind of the last city our size to to get to become renovated and revitalized. So we're almost benefiting from that. But all of a sudden, downtown Tucson in the last 5 years has exploded. We have over 160 businesses and projects that have started up in that time. Almost $250 million now of private investment.
Michael, let's get to that in a second.
All right.
You're listening to Michael Keith, the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. But I'd like to get Craig's perspective as well on why we should care, why it's important in the community. I mean, why not just go to the periphery, or why not just let the outgrowth, the outfill kind of happen? Why do we need a vibrant downtown?
Well, I think everybody answers that question for themselves. I know for me, not everybody in Tucson or in the surrounding areas is going to care about downtown, but there is a critical mass, I think, that does. And I'll tell you, my personal story is I moved to Tucson about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and my wife and I came out to take a look at it. We were looking for a place to move to, and we almost didn't move here because of the downtown. We come from the East Coast, met her in New York City, lived in Washington, outside of Washington. And we, looking at downtown Tucson, said, why would we move to a place like this? And the irony for me is we toured the Fox that day we were downtown, because I was running a historic synagogue in D.C. at the time. And I was blown away by that building. I just fell in love that first. It was like love at first sight with me and the Fox. And I said to myself, back in my mind, if somebody's investing this much money in this building, something's happening in downtown Tucson. I didn't know the whole background in Rio Nuevo and all the, ups and downs and trials and tribulations of the downtown, but I did have an instinct that downtown was coming. It's taken a long time. It's frustrated some people, but what we have happening right now downtown just could not be more exciting if you care about the downtown. And I think a lot of people do, because it's a place that galvanizes a community. Downtowns galvanize communities. They make people care about what's happening in their city, not just their own little neighborhood. It's not the NIMBY, experience. It's like we all – and I do think it's true that, it's growing, this sense of like we're all – everybody, they live in Oro Valley or Marana or Green Valley, they all feel invested in the success of downtown Tucson. And that's a key moment, I think.
Okay. You're listening to Craig Sumberg, who is the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater Foundation. And, of course, we also have Michael Keith with us here in the studio. I'd like to remind our listeners that you can be part of the conversation by simply calling the Bill Buckmaster call-in line, and it's 790-2040. We'd love to hear your opinions about the kinds of things we're talking about. I know that I've been here now since 1988, and I walked through downtown when I first came here, and I looked around and said, number one, it's ugly. Number two, it's empty. Number three, the part of it that isn't empty isn't a part that I necessarily want to participate in. And that bothered me, because I, too, come from the East Coast, and I, too, just focus on the energy and the excitement of what a downtown area is to really reflect the ethos of a town,
right,
and the ethos of the city that you live in. And for years, nothing. And then, we got that ray of the glimmer of hope with Rio Nuevo and some things started happening. But I almost gave up. I was just, okay, fine. I'll go to restaurants that aren't in downtown. I'll go to theaters that aren't in downtown. I wasn't the oldest person in the theater when I started going to the Arizona Theater Company and the opera and the chamber music. I probably am now. But I look around and all I could see was people with gray hair. And I realized that we just weren't marketing it right. We weren't appealing to the audience that really needed to be part of downtown in order to make downtown happen, because that kind of steamroller happens only when an entire population is involved, not just, folks over 65. So let me get with you, Craig. What are you guys doing at the Fox to just create a different audience?
We perceive our role at the Fox as part of downtown. We're, obviously downtown is bookended by the Rialto Theater and the Fox, a lot of other great theaters sprinkled in. But we perceive our role to be kind of, we're the adult venue. We're people, maybe not all with gray hair, but people, probably 40 and up tend to be the people that come to shows at the Fox. That's who I tend to program for. We do an occasional show that will appeal to a younger demographic, but primarily they tend to go to the East End of Congress. And we feel that that's good. I mean, you know, the Rialto does it, what it does very well, and the Fox does what we think we do, what we're doing very well. And we're bringing a cross-section of people that care about music. Primarily, we do some great classic films as well, bringing them downtown. They go to restaurants. We've done an economic survey recently indicated that in addition to the $1.8 million the Fox generates in revenue to the building, to the foundation, we also generate about $1.5 million into downtown. That's about 1.2 of that goes to restaurants and bars. So there's a great deal of economic activity. That's direct spending that happens because of what happens at the Fox. Rialto has similar numbers. ATC, you know, the symphony, the opera, all of us are generating revenue and bringing people downtown. And again, now downtown is ready to – I feel like the Fox opened 5 years too early. You know, we were like, here's this great, beautiful building. Downtown's still pretty dicey. Now it's all changing. I mean, now I bring, you know, friends come to visit. They come down to my theater. They walk downtown. They go to Hub or 47 Scott or Downtown Kitchen. And it's like they think, wow, what a great little downtown you have here. Okay. It's still coming. It's going to be better in 3 years than it is right now. But, I mean, Tucson, as Michael said, downtown Tucson's here to stay.
Michael, you alluded to all of the money, the bucks, the development bucks that are going into the downtown area. Can you, in the 2 minutes remaining before the next break, can you just summarize for us the kind of investment that you're seeing down there now?
Yeah, we've seen over 50 bars and restaurants open up. We've seen housing projects. We've seen specialty retail come in. It's been an across the board surge actually downtown, and we've seen people coming downtown we haven't ever seen even venture down there. We're getting such a wide demographic now of different people from all over the valley that are showing up because they're not afraid anymore. They know that if they're going to go to dinner, they have this whole value-added experience. They can walk up and window shop. They can go to a show. There's more to do than just going to a dinner and then going back to your house. So we're beginning to draw from everywhere.
Okay, and the kinds of development dollars that you've seen over the past couple of years?
Yeah, a lot of it, it was a small entrepreneurs. I mean, this is a small business success story, if there ever was one, for downtown Tucson. It's not being driven by a big capital project. Each of those restaurants has probably invested $1 million to open up, and there's 50 of them. I mean, it's a surge across the board. The thing that the next phase for us, of course, is housing. And that's been we've got the student housing going on now, but the next will be market rate housing.
Really?
Yeah, and that's coming too.
Okay. So we're going to go to break. When I come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the origins of this renaissance. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about Rio Nuevo. I mean, that's the big ugly gorilla in the room. And then let's move past that and see where we're going.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
And we're back. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who's off doing something really interesting with his wife. Like, he thinks he has a right to do that and go on vacation. But we wish him a great week and hope he's having a really great time. And right now, we are here in studio with Michael Keith and Craig Sundberg, and we're talking about downtown. And we promised that one of the things we'd at least, you know, take the lid off a little bit was the whole idea of Rio Nuevo, what it accomplished, where it went a little bit wrong, and how we move past that. Michael.
All right. I think this has been talked about quite a bit, but you know, the short version is really good intentions. They did create an atmosphere, if you will, for this to occur, and they put out an image that of what this could be. They did a lot of good infrastructure work. They restored the Rialto and the Fox. They put up the Presidio Wall. They did a lot of other things that you don't see because it's below ground. But I think in a sense it was a trial run for us. We were able to look at everything, sift through what was going to work and not work for us as a community. Some of that money was poorly spent, I agree, but it's over. And the new Fletcher McCusker has taken over Rio Nuevo. They put their differences behind them with the city. They're putting money into the convention center. They're going to put money into other projects as well. They don't have a lot of money left, but the money that they have, they're going to use very wisely. So it's a whole new era. And, you know, we beat that horse to death, I think. Everything that's happened downtown has happened almost despite that.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's so easy to continue to beat that horse. Mm. And it, you know, it doesn't cry out in pain anymore, but a lot of us do, and we keep on hearing it. So one of the things that Rio Nuevo wanted to accomplish. And, you know, I read the audit report, and, you know, maybe they overextended their image or their reach a little bit in terms of what they had originally been intended to accomplish and what they finally set out to do. But one of the things in their vision was the idea that without a good convention center and without a major hotel attached to it, that you really can't grow a downtown area. Now, that may or may not prove to have been a good assumption, but where do we stand now with being able to attract convention business and tourist business and keep them downtown? Great. You want to take that first?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said for bigger visions of what downtown could be, and I think that has to include what the new convention center would look like. So that needs to be on the table and continue to be a discussion that we have. I personally would like to see a significant revamping of that convention center so that we can compete with the other places that have beautiful convention centers that bring in great, you know, all those folks looking for places to spend a week, 4 days, 3 days. I mean, that's clearly an opportunity for Tucson, given our weather, you know, 6 months a year, and we're now not able to capitalize on that. So there's no question that we need to have that conversation, whether that's now or 5 years from now, I don't know. But downtown is happening regardless of that conversation, and maybe that was a bit of a divisive moment in the, you know, kind of Tucson's history. So I think it's probably good that right now we're not focused on that. And the people who need to have that, think that through and come up with the right plan are doing so. But right now, what's happening downtown, as Michael said, it's organic, it's natural, it's people investing their money. I mean, it's, you know, businessmen, small entrepreneurs, some larger business folks investing money in downtown because they see that as a place to make money. And so, that's good for
right.
Tucson.
So let's talk about the catalyst, or what appears to be the catalyst, namely the new modern streetcar. How is that changing the vision? How is that making this all possible?
Well, I think it's a promise of the streetcar that got a lot of those small entrepreneurs to come downtown and put all their money on the line and take a chance. A lot of these smaller entrepreneurs are 20s and 30s and early 40-year-olds. They've come from areas that have had fixed transit systems. They know that their peers are all not anti-vehicle, but kind of pro-public transit. Whether it's streetcars or buses or bikes. So they really brought a vision to downtown that we hadn't seen before, that it was okay to invest in an area that just based on the fact that it was going to have a fixed transit system. And they proved to be right. You know, we've had this image for a long time that government has to do big public works or you can't revitalize an area. And we've actually just proved that to be not entirely true. I mean, this has really happened with a series of small improvements that the city did, like 4th Avenue Underpass and MLK Building and the garages that they put in and the widening of I-10 and a series of streetscape improvements. But it wasn't a big capital project. And they set the table very nicely, as it's turning out, for these young Turks to come in, really, and start revitalizing the downtown.
Well, if we don't build a big hotel downtown, how do we link the concept of tourism and the tourism dollars that we bring to Southern Arizona and what's happening downtown?
You know, you've heard the phrase, if you build it, they will come.
Well, I've heard it.
Well, we're building it, and they are coming. We're starting to see a lot of visitors. We've got 4, possibly 5 boutique hotels now on the drawing boards for downtown Tucson, both on the west side of the freeway and the central business district. We've already got 700 rooms along the streetcar district that are in place now. There's a new Residence Inn going up at Main Gate. So once that goes in, the new A-Loft on Speedway and Campbell, on that 4-mile corridor now, you already have 700 business-level hospitality rooms with another 500, possibly 700 coming. So we're going to have the number of rooms even without that central hotel at the convention center. I mean, think of the Gem and Mineral Show. It's going to be able to extend all the way up that streetcar corridor. We're going to be able to market the streetcar corridor as a calling card for Tucson that's going to put us in competition with Austin and Albuquerque and Salt Lake and San Antonio and all these
things. So you're saying I can fly into Tucson International, take a cab to the hotel, and not rent a car and still be happy?
Everything you want to see outside of the Desert Museum and Pima Air Museum and some of those bigger attractions, everything you want to see in the urban center almost is going to happen on that 4-mile corridor. It's going to be huge. We'll get more tourism impact from that corridor if we market it correctly.
The other piece of the that I want to remember about downtown, I think is essential, is, and it relates back to my experience walking through downtown in the Fox Theater when I thought about moving to Tucson, is people want to move. Most people that are kind of looking around for a place to move to now, you know, young 30s, 20s or 30s with some kind of a skill. What can I do in that town? It's not just, is there a job there? It's, is that a place I want to live?
Sure, sure.
Tucson's always had Southern Arizona, this great outdoor, you know, climbing and hiking and biking, and that's great. And there's a definite, that's a draw for, you know, why people come here. But you also have people who want to see the culture. They want to see the arts, the entertainment, the restaurants. And, you know, we now have that. All that investment we're going away from when otherwise it's gone into downtown has allowed that to flourish.
Right. So we're going to come back after the break. I think Councilman Cunningham is going to join us. But I want to get back to this whole idea of how do you market this? How do you really appeal to a larger segment, both within the community of Southern Arizona and outside of that community?
Great.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Oklahoma authorities aren't sure yet how many people are still missing in the aftermath of yesterday's deadly tornado, but they're vowing to account for every resident. Emergency crews are continuing to search for what remains of the Oklahoma City suburb of Moore, but the governor says they're having trouble navigating some of the neighborhoods because the devastation is so complete and because there are no street signs left standing. Officials today revised the death toll downward to 24. Jodi Arias has told an Arizona jury she can contribute to society from prison if she's allowed to live. Arias addressed the jury today in the penalty phase of her first-degree murder trial. He led the IRS at a time when it was giving extra scrutiny to applications from conservative groups seeking tax-exempt status. But Douglas Shulman's telling Congress today he knew little about what was going on until he read the Inspector General's report. More details at SRNNews.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Row. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you out.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
I mean, you're always going to have the whatever, you know, the world master of the game.
So we're back. This is Shelley Fishman, and sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and I'm here in the studio with Craig Sundberg from the Fox Theater and with Michael Keith, who's the CEO of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Our live line, please call in and join the discussion at 790-2040, and I believe we have Paul Cunningham on the line with us. Councilman Cunningham, thank you for joining us.
Hello. How are you?
We are well. We are good. We're talking about downtown Tucson, and we're talking about all the things that that are making it just move along and create a lot of demand for people coming downtown. Councilman, I don't know whether you've heard the first part of the show, but what I'd like to talk about a little bit right now is what the city is doing to move this along, and how some of the plans that we have at the airport and some of the plans that we have for an inland port, and especially all the business we get from south of the border, how that plays into this whole thing, and what kind of attention it's got at City Hall.
Well, to start with, the most immediate effective programs that we've had at City Hall are obviously the CBD, the GPLED program. It's in its infancy. It's not even a year old. Four projects have already taken advantage of it. It's a terrific plan. We also have a primary jobs incentive, which is an economic development program, which isn't specific to downtown, but it helps kind of grow the pie in the economy and helps us build a critical mass downtown. The other thing is we've had the infill incentive district, the business infill incentive district. So we've had all these different things kind of come to fruition. And after a number of times, part of it was just the market. Eventually, prices got to the rock bottom, and people felt making an investment into downtown was worth it. There are two or three projects going on right now, including the new court center and also a new housing project next to the Rialto. So all those things are happening. But let's back up and say, how has it all started? Well, when I first came into office, I really wanted to land the next whale. It was one of those things. I wanted to go to a company like that's maybe already have a presence, but a company like Geico or a company like Clear Energy or a company like a company like a telecom, like Cricket.
You wanted to hit a home run.
I wanted one of those companies to come here and do their national operation, be a corporate headquarters for a true private company that didn't use any government contracting, but was a behemoth when it came to multi-billion in the community they were in. And I'd sit down with different executives and try to sell them on Tucson and let them know how great we were. And they started with three things. They said there are three principles that need to happen. You need an airport, you need a school system, and you need a downtown. These are the three things that any community, no matter what community it is, has to have to be competitive in landing a Fortune 500 or a Forbes 1000 company and that company offering it a substantial number of primary jobs. Now, there are communities that do very well without them. They have some artisan communities. They have they have micro businesses and nano businesses that export, and there are companies that have their communities that have a niche market in some of those and do pretty well. But they all have this, to me, I've noticed there's always at least one or two anchors. And we just don't have one. We've got the base, we've got the U of A, and we got Raytheon, and that's about it. Raytheon is incumbent on tax dollars. A lot of their money is funded through our federal tax income with the contracts they have. Then the U of A is partially financed, self-financed by the United States, by the state of Arizona, and a lot of our own people go to the U of A. We do import some students from across the country, but for the most part, it's still a state school. And then the last piece is, of course, Davis-Monthan, which again is funded through the federal government. So we just didn't have that one great company, and we'd sit down, and those were the same story every time: the downtown, the airport, and the school. Well, a couple things have happened organically over the last few years. One of them is the downtown has kind of flourished. We've made a really nice comeback downtown. We've had some private investment. And a lot of things happened despite not building them. As it turns out, the council made a good decision in 2010, late 2010, by not building the hotel and convention center. That wasn't what we needed. We needed just people to step up and make investments and take risks. And what you see is a nice, solid downtown coming back. It's busy on the weeknights. It's swamped on the weekends, and it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and Tucson should be proud.
Paul,
and so when we're, yeah.
What I'd like to do is just interrupt, because we are talking about downtown, and you started off with landing a whale. You talked about some prerequisites for landing the whale. We got two of the three right now. Let's not talk about education. That's just too charged. But are you going to make some news? Are you going to land a whale today?
No, not yet. We've got some time, but I mean, I don't know. I reject the idea that our schools are poor. I mean, we're ranked 49th with spending per capita, but you know, you look around.
We've got some great schools.
There were several schools that made the top 2,500 in the country, including Saguaro in Ward 2 and Sabino just outside of Ward 2. I was proud of them, but. You know, Flowing Wells has a very high free lunch percentage. They have a much lower income, a median income family rate than most schools in that bracket, and they completely overachieved. They're the only A-plus school in Pima County. I mean, they rocked it. And then you've got Basis and University coming in the top 20 every year. I kind of reject that we're as lacking in the school department as people believe. I know there's a lot of sentiment regarding TUSD about this or about that.
Yeah, we don't need to go there. Let me ask a question, and Paul, what I'm going to do is direct this one at Michael to begin with. Let's talk about attracting other businesses to Tucson, large businesses, and let's put aside whose job it is to make that happen. Where are these businesses going to locate, and where are the people going to live, and how do we make the infill area attractive to people to move here and you know, spend their lives in high rises?
Well, first of all, the city's done a remarkable job of putting an incentive package together that appeals to a wide range of different business sizes and uses. They've really upped their game in the last 3 or 4 years. They've completely revamped development services. You know, they've really stepped up to the plate and created an atmosphere for these businesses to come in. You've got the streetcar district that we haven't really talked too much about, that's going to be a calling card. And you've got the proximity to Mexico, which is going to be probably the biggest economic driver for the next century. Do you know that Mexico becomes the sixth largest economy in the world by 2045?
Right.
The sixth largest. We slipped to second. Mexico becomes the sixth largest after China, India, and Japan. That's extraordinary, right on our border. So we're going to see a lot of economic development off of the emergence of Mexico, and I think the upside for Southern Arizona is just enormous right now.
Well, you know, one of the things that you, obviously look at when you take a look at the great cities of the world is they typically have something geographic. You look at a map and you can see why New York is a great city. You can see why Washington's a great city, why San Francisco is a great city, why Rome is a great city. I mean, geographically, they're located in such a place that it's easy to bring in trade. It's easy to bring in people. And when you look at the map and you see Tucson, you don't see that right off the bat. There's no huge river. There's no deep water port. Well, but, you know, what we're seeing is that if we were to become an international city, if we were to use the growth that's happening south of the border and become that entry point, that could, in fact, be where we grow and what Tucson becomes. Craig, How do you market to that? How do you build, for instance, an arts community that is able to be multinational?
Well, I think in the arts, to the extent that we're talking about that a little bit, begs the question of outreach to the Hispanic community.
Sure.
And kind of what are we doing? How much programming are we doing for that community? I mean, I think that's an important question for all of us. Personally, I don't think the Fox is doing much for that community right now, and I'd like to do more. So I think that's an opportunity that we have both for the Hispanic community in and around Tucson, also in Mexico, because I do know that those – and I would say that AVA Amphitheater is doing a lot of this and doing it well, the folks at the casino, and they are getting visitors from south of the border. So I think that's an opportunity for certainly in terms of bringing in dollars to – and maybe pesos to downtown and to the Tucson area.
Yeah, pesos spend. They really do.
Yes, yes, yes.
So should we be marketing our arts to – our performing arts and our visual arts to the folks down?
We need to be programming smart for stuff that's going to attract them. I mean, I wouldn't market some of the stuff I got coming up in the fall to that market. But certainly if there are shows that make sense, like I do have we're doing the Pacific Mambo Orchestra with Tito Puente this fall. And I think that's a show that would have great interest to the Hispanic community and probably into Mexico. So that kind of show for sure.
Yeah. Paul, are you going to stay with us till after the break?
Sure.
That's great. Let's take a break, and I think we have one or two callers, and then we'll talk a little bit about Tucson, the international city, and how we just bring that, well, those pesos up here.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams. co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
So we're back live. This is Shelley Fishman sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. And this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grand County, New Mexico, which is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival, Memorial Day weekend, May 24th, 25th, and 26th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And when you're not in Silver City, you should be downtown Tucson enjoying our arts there. Hey, listen, there are plenty of great places to stay in and around Silver City, just to mention two. The Bear Mountain Lodge and the Casitas, the Helix guest houses. It's a great way to get away from town when you're getting away. But when you're not getting away and you're getting back, that's what Tucson's about. We're here live in the studio with Craig Sumberg and Michael Keith. We've got Paul Cunningham on the call-in line, and we've got two callers. And I'm going to ask the callers to make believe this is Jeopardy. Put your comments in the form of a question so that our guests can answer it. Let's talk to Joe first. You've been on hold the longest. Thanks for calling the Buckmaster Show, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to throw out a statistic that today, one out of every $3 that comes into this town is from Mexico. And that's a heavy thing. And it seems to me the corridor would make sense. Paul, you know, you've already fielded this question, but these other guys, I think it's an important thing to look at, because we have this dotted landscape with mobile homes, and we need to reverse this Raising Arizona effect, because it's just, you know, rampant there. And,
so Joe, what you're talking about is what it looks like as you drive into town?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Paul, you want to address that real quick?
Well, as I've said before, the corridor is, there's so many different things, and we'd love to see the revitalization going through on all those residences, a number of things. But, again, it's a process, and a lot of it happens organically. We can make all the cool little policies in the world and throw money at things, but a lot of things happen because of the will of the people. And mm-hmm. I hope that I'm looking forward to this investment in Mexico. We've talked about the inland port. We've talked about developing a tech sector for aerospace. I mean, these are all things. These are all concepts. I believe will not only help downtown and help fuel Tucson economically, but they'll be done responsibly and done through a process. And if we do it right, it will come through with flying colors. There'll always be a few dissenters, but I think it's definitely an opportunity we cannot squander.
Hey, thanks for that question. We've got Greg as a caller to the Buckmaster Show. Greg, you have another question about generating Mexican tourism.
Actually, yeah, I would ask the guest and Councilman Cunningham if they've had an opportunity to listen to Joe and Chris in the morning, you know, with Wake Up Tucson. Here's a couple of guys who are hands-on in encouraging this communication, this rapport between Mexico and ourselves. themselves. And if I was in their position, I'd want to sit down with them. And are they aware? I guess that would be the question. Are they aware of what I'm talking about as far as encouraging Tucsonans to make this trip down there with them to see about bringing business there and bringing business here?
Michael, you want to take that one first?
Yeah, there's a number of groups that are already operating in that arena. And you know that the council and the mayor make trips down there on a very regular basis to Hermosillo. The different business leaders in Sonora come up on reciprocal visits here. And there's another number of organizations operating in that.
Leah Marcus Peterson has talked about
right.
that with
she was here
Hispanic
the other day.
Chamber. I mean, the whole Southern Arizona Chamber of Commerce Alliance,
right.
we're focused on that. It's very important, and I think it's happening. I think it could be more. I think that we could be doing a lot more than we're doing now, because I personally believe the future of Tucson is linked with the future of North Mexico.
And one of the hotel concepts being considered for downtown on the west side of the freeway is actually a chain called Quinta Real in Mexico. It's a high-end hotel chain that's considering building a 300-room hotel over there that's actually to attract Mexican businessmen and their families up to Tucson.
That'd be wonderful.
There's several different tourist activities that we've done through Sports Commerce as well. Both the Mexican Baseball Fiesta, the Desert Diamond Cup, and now the new soccer presence we have are going to be huge for generating tourism. But the other part is there. I'm telling you, is aerospace. Rolls-Royce is the most foremost maker of aviation piston aircraft and some turboprop engines. Their main distribution point is going to be Guaymas. And that's going to be so important for Tucson long term. That's why we've got to get this this aerospace sector moving.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me ask Craig a question. Craig, you know, you run a theater and you run a season, and we've got a couple of minutes left. Why don't you do some shameless self promotion and talk about your upcoming season?
I thought you never asked. Thank you, Shelley. I won't belabor the point, but we do have a season to unveil very quickly. If you're on the Fox mailing list, you'll get it soon in the mail. It'll be on the website, and on if you're not a Fox eBlast recipient, you can get that by going to foxtucson.com. Anyway, the season includes, beginning in August, actually some shows already on sale, Cyndi Lauper, June 23rd, Air Supply, June 28th, a couple of great rock and roll kind of memory shows in July. Chris Isaac's going to be here on August 7th. Those are all already on sale. Coming up in the fall season, we have Randy Travis, Don Williams, Taj Mahal, Bruce Hornsby and Ricky Skaggs doing a show together. Vince Gill is my gala, the fall gala on November 3rd, and that should be an amazing evening. I mentioned the Pacific Mambo with Tito Puente. Lyle Lovett and John Hyatt, Peter Yarrow and Noel Paul Stukely, a show remembering the great songs of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Just some great stuff coming up this fall. And the way that people can get tickets is either wait until they go on sale to the public on June 14th, or join the Fox with a $50 contribution or more. On May 31st, they go on sale to members of the Fox at noon. And that's my exciting news. You've heard it here first on the Buckmaster Show.
So are you guys in any way linked up with any of the other venues down in Tucson so that if, you know, if I have tickets for something at the Fox, I get a discount on drinks at a restaurant, something to kind of pull it all together?
On the back of my ticket is a nice ad for a discount from Enoteca right down the street.
Okay.
Cafe a la carte is on the back of my ticket envelope. This summer, we're spending a lot of time. We have already a plan to make contact all the restaurants downtown, all of whom are already supportive and we do have relationships with. But to do a formal kind of a partnership, they'll be on our website. There'll be discounts and all that. So coming probably by September 1st, that should all be in place.
So short answer is yes.
Yes, and more yes as of September.
There you go.
More true as of September 1st.
Paul, when is the trolley going to be done?
Well,
pick a date, Paul. Pick a date.
You know what? I give up. I'm hoping that I'm hoping it depends on when Oregon gets done. I mean, the end that we're in control of, the end that we have direct control of, construction's on time, the tracks are getting done. If you've noticed, and I'm based on some of the calls I get, people have a lot of road work is getting done. The roads are looking good for the first time. I mean, not. You know, we still have our share.
Sure, problems, you can't drive on them because you can't go anywhere.
But we're turning the corner on road work getting done.
Sure we are.
And I'm happy that the streetcar line is the construction of the actual line and the cables and all that are going to come in pretty close to our start date. I mean, we're not going to be off by too much. It's really whether or not we get this car or these cars. Right. Our ace in the hole is, or my ace in the hole is, I'm willing to turn our back on these guys and buy some used ones from Seattle. I'm willing to do that. It's something that hasn't been discussed yet, but Seattle has some cars that, with a couple minor alterations, can fit on our new tracks.
Hey, Rosemary, would you get Jonathan on the phone? And let's give him that idea. We're almost done here for this. I mean, this hour just went.
Shelley,
I
just want to jump in quickly. I want to just state for the record that downtown streets are basically open, and you can get around all of downtown right now.
Is that
so?
Right?
What I say from stage every show we do right now, it was much worse 6 months ago. It's going to be better in six months. But downtown is very much open for
Congress
business.
Is completely open.
Yes.
Okay.
So
people need
your
to know that.
Should know that.
People need to know that. That's great. Anyways, I want to thank you guys. This has been a really good. We could just talk more and more. That steamroller is moving. Tucson
is
moving, and it's just I'm really thinking. You know, maybe this was a good move I made 25 years ago.
Finally.
Okay, you know, I just need to mention that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business, and you can drink it right here in Tucson. So thank you, guys. Have a great week. Continue, you know, more steam ahead. More steam is better as we move through this process of making Tucson a truly great city. Thank you, Shelley. To Bill Buckmaster, have a great week, everybody.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.